is a woman, woman made. Where do I go to find images of woman, woman made? Yeah.
Good evening, and welcome to Woman, the show that explores the evolution and the revolution of the ideas that define and confine woman, biologically, sociologically, and personally. Redefining woman as the wild, open, magical, authentically empowered nectar she is, revealing her as the goddess. And I'm your host, Gina Cloud.
Oh, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Redefining Woman. This is one of those nights where that rarely happens for me with the show, where I'm just like catching my breath and landing with you all right now. So I want to welcome all of my loyal and devoted listeners for the last 3 years, and I want to say hello to those of you who've just discovered the podcast and are new, and I really hope that you will enjoy exploring. At this point, I think I have around 110 episodes of content. So we just welcome, and I would appreciate you just continue to share about Redefining Woman with everyone that you think would benefit from it. And to remind you, you can find me on Facebook. I'm trying to set up a fan page, going to get that going. But I am on Facebook. I'm also on MySpace. Please sign up for my free newsletters. I'm trying to grow my list because I'm going to be starting to do some teleclasses and teleseminars and a lot of different things I'm working on putting together, and I'd like to be able to keep you all apprised of what's going on. So to do that, go to my website, www.redefiningwoman.com, and there's a sign up for the newsletter link on the main bar on the homepage, and you can add your email address. I want to also just kind of let you know about an upcoming teleseminar. A guest of mine who's going to be on my show in a few weeks, Ken Foster, but he's involved in a venture with Amazon. Amazon, you guys might remember, those of you that have been listening to me for a while, I at one point on my old website had an endorsement for Amazon products, nutritional products, skincare products, because I endorse them because they are one of the cleanest, purest products out there on the market. And they've currently redone the company. I'm going to be getting involved again in endorsing them and becoming a distributor again, but they have got new sort of, not ownership, so to speak, but the owner of the company, Amazon John, just married Olivia Newton John, and they are together really just doing some phenomenal stuff, and they're going to be doing a teleseminar on the 16th at 6 o'clock. I will let you know next week how you can, the free teleseminar, how you can sign up and listen to what they're doing. They're really working at preserving the rainforest in the most pristine fashion, I think, of any company out there. So I'll let you know on that. But now I want to turn to my guest for this evening, who was on a few weeks ago. His name is David Bruce Leonard, and I will do a little bit of a bio for him before we jump into this really great subject matter tonight. And again, this show is really designed for men. So ladies, if you're listening, it will of course be educational, inspiring, many different places it'll probably hit you. Share this with the men in your life, whether they're your father, brother, lover, husband, whoever it is. And for those of you, the men that have been avidly listening to the show, this is for you. So David's book is How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. I love that title. And David has a wicked sense of humor, as you will hear more of tonight. The first part of this interview was, I believe, about 3 weeks ago. If you go to the archives, you will find it. But a little bit about David. David Bruce Leonard is a deep ecologist, body worker, Qigong practitioner, acupuncturist, martial artist, and plant lover. He has studied medicine with teachers in Asia, North and South America, and Hawaii. David believes that our health and the meaning of our lives are inseparable from our interactions with the natural world. He has worked in a bank, done marine whale research, and has been seen in public attempting to dance Argentine tango. David is available for workshops and consultations in the creation of men's groups and support circles. Private coaching sessions for men or couples are also available, and he can be reached through his website, Hi, woman.
Jim. Hello.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, good.
Great.
I wanted to explore more this wonderful, wonderful book, How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. How did you come up with that title, by the way?
I don't know. Sometimes my sense of humor kind of sneaks up on me, I think.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, let me call you back on one other number. Give me a second, okay?
I think we're going to go to commercial. I think we just lost David. Rebecca, can we go to commercial? We'll be back in a few minutes. Okay.
Somehow I made it through life with my heart still intact, all my baggage.
What makes you feel beautiful? If you'd like to learn to love yourself from the inside out, then get ready for a natural beauty consultation with Gina Cloud. No matter what you do to your physical body externally, you'll never radiate beauty unless you're sourced by your inner being. Gina Cloud will teach you about beauty that no procedure or product can give at a fraction of the cost. She'll show you how to age gracefully and how to look in the mirror and love what you see. Call 310-994-6475 or visit www.redefiningwoman.com to book your first session by phone or in person. If you mention CTR, you'll receive a 25% discount on your first session. Remember, call 310-994-6475 or visit www.redefiningwoman.com.
Listening live right now? Join the party. Visit our chat room at contacttalkradio.com.
Okay, guys, here we are. Sorry for that technical glitch. So, David, I think I had asked you how you came up with the title for the book. I love How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. How did that come to you, or was it just one of those moments?
I honestly don't even remember. Sometimes, in my sleep or when I'm daydreaming or something, I get these ideas. So, I don't recall actually.
It's a great and very catchy title.
I used to write a lot of satire too when I was younger, so it sort of fits my personality.
Your book is so rife with satire. But you know, why don't we do this for those who maybe didn't hear the first interview that we did? If you want to just maybe sort of give us a lead into, because we're going to explore in the second half of your book more of the techniques and how to accomplish some of these things. But if you want to give us just a kind of an overview of what would lead us into that, what this book is about for men.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I began working on this material, and it's called How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls, A Man's Guide to Sacred Sex. And I began to developed this material in the year 2000 with a partner of mine, and I worked on that for 9 years on the material. And I realized as I was about to write the book that there was a lot of other information that wasn't really in line with that, or wasn't around the technical aspects of sacred sexuality and the energetic aspects. There was more about relationships and how a lot of men that I saw around me, especially in Hawaii, but I'm sure it's all over. There were a lot of men who were involved in tantra and sacred sexuality who had not really embraced their masculinity. And I thought it was tragic. I've been working in men's circles for many years. And so I decided to add material in at the beginning of the book about the way I perceive the difficulties and challenges of being a man in modern society and how to do that with some kind of sanity, you know, with some sort of... with character and integrity. So the first half of the book is about my perspective on what it means to be a man in relationship, and the second half of the book is about sacred sexuality, which is a combination of my version of sacred sexuality, which is a combination of Chinese Taoist exercises, deep tissue body work based on something called sacred temple body work, and other things.
So, And I got to say, I really highly recommend, you guys can get this book at davidbruceleonard.com, right, David?
Yes, or on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, or on Amazon, yeah. And it's really, it's a terrific book. And in a lot of ways, as I was reading David's book, and he sort of echoed the same sentiment, it was a lot like my book in terms of the perspective, very different.
Yeah, I just discovered that the other night. I was just finishing your book up, and I was all excited. I was highlighting it and writing in the margin. So the book has now been thoroughly scribbled in.
Very similar.
I was amazed at how similar our thought patterns are and the points that we address.
Yeah, that's why I really loved. I think, you know, I loved your book because it was just echoing more of my philosophy as well and how I think about this. But you really address this, you know, for men so clearly, but there's so much for women to learn as well. So let's, like, jump in, because I know the hour is going to just, 45 minutes now is just going to disappear before we know it. And there's a place in the book where you talk about intimacy and lovemaking and erotic immersion. And I'd love to have you talk about what that means to you and in terms of a man and where you are wanting to lead men in this particular area.
Yeah, there's, you know, obviously men enter this from many different levels. You know, there are men that are very sort of simplistic in their approach to sexuality, and men that are, you know, more sophisticated and have a more emotional content in their sexuality. But what most people do that I know is when we're making love with our partner, not just men, but women also, we go into what I call erotic immersion, which is where we close our eyes. They used to call it sensate focus in the trade. We close our eyes, and we just move into our inner terrain, and we just feel the sensuality and the sexuality. We may have sexual fantasies. We may, you know, whatever is coming up for us. But we're essentially making love with blinders on because we're not connecting to our partner. Now, there's nothing wrong with erotic immersion. That was what they used in the 70s, 80s, and 90s to teach women how to climax, which was an important thing. They needed to access their inner terrain, their own eroticism, and to relax into that. But at some point, if we're just with our partner and we're not really there with them, we're essentially masturbating with them,
right?
Which is okay, but it's not optimal. So in my world, I like in the book I talk about creating many different possibilities. Erotic immersion is one of them, you know, fantasy, role playing, whatever, but also real deep connection, which means making love with your eyes open, with the lights on. Having your partner watch you and looking at your partner while you climax. I think there's a lot that we can learn from exploring this in different ways. In ways, you know, what we do in our sexual relationships is we have our patterns and we repeat them over and over again. First we do A, then we do B, then we do C, and then, you know, one or both of us climaxes, and then we fall asleep or whatever, have a cigarette, whatever it is we do. and that, we get in these ruts. And in some ways, the ruts are safe and comfortable and familiar, but just like in our emotional bodies, you know, if we get too deep into our ruts, we miss out on so much possibility in our lives. So in the part of the book at the end that I call infinity practices, there are three of them. There's a part, infinite hugging, where you stand and you hold each other fully clothed and you just hold each other. And it's open-ended. And what happens is that the high-desire partner will find themselves wanting to cling. Mm. And the low-desire partner will find themselves feeling smothered and pushing away. And this is a really nice way for us to see how we show up in relationship. Because it doesn't matter if we're the high or the low-desire partner. It's, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. There's another practice called infinite kissing, in which we... which is a little different than infinite hugging in the sense that we're kissing, but we're not kissing to create arousal. We're kissing just to explore, and that too is open-ended. So that involves just, it's a meditation of kissing. When you're kissing your partner, just to explore them and to allow your mouths to explore each other. And it can be very powerful. It can be a very powerful thing. And the third infinity practice that I describe in there is called infinite touch. And that is done completely naked in kind of a scissor position. So nobody's on top. The man does what I call soft entry with the woman, which I describe in the book. erect, but he's still inside her. Eyes are open, lights are on, and you just are present. You don't chase pleasure. So sex doesn't matter, erections don't matter, orgasms don't matter. None of it matters. I mean, if those things happen, if erection, sex, or orgasm happen, they're fine, but we're not chasing pleasure. We're just being there with our partner, eyes open and connecting. I think this is a very powerful practice for both men and women, because it takes us out of our patterns.
Yeah, this sounds like, I mean, you're echoing also, I think I may have mentioned her work to you when we spoke last time in our last interview, Diana Richardson, Tantric Orgasm for Women, and she talks a lot about soft penetration, and especially for men, what a relief it is in many ways. The expectation, I mean, if you'd love to have you talk about that, the expectation of performance and erection and lasting and all of that stuff, and that so many of the men have had an experience of just being relieved to be able to just be present without...
Yeah, and it is. And men, you know, we're very performance-oriented, you know. I say to my men friends, I say, you know, lose the erection. Just forget about it. Let it go. It'll come back. I mean, if you have a health issue, if there's a vascular problem, then deal with it. But, you know, it'll go, it'll come, it'll go. That's okay. Because, you know, just because you lose your erection doesn't mean you're quadriplegic, for one thing. Another thing in the book I say is women don't want a stud. Most women don't want a stud. They want a man that has the balls to open his chest and his heart and to fully meet that woman.
Yes,
so that, you know, that is, from my perspective, that's what I try and focus on in what I'm describing. You know.
Yeah, it's, you know, to get away from, like you were saying, the pattern of how people do lovemaking, about how they do sex, how they do all of it, and really being present, because even like when you were talking about the infinite hugging, I had the thought cross my mind of when you were saying the high, how did you express it?
The high desire partner is going to cling, and the low desire partner. And the high desire partner is often needy or insecure, and the low desire partner is often afraid of commitment or intimacy.
But the thought that occurred to me was that couldn't that be different on different days? You know,
totally.
One day,
right? Exactly. Yeah.
So you really,
and who we're with, and yeah.
Yeah, you really get to know both sides of yourself in that as well, because some days you may not be feeling like you want that level of touch and connection. But it also, I mean, it really activates for you what's going on inside of you, if you can stay present with that. And just it's a very... I like these practices, the hugging, the kissing, and the touch.
Yeah, and women will tend to like them more than men, you know, which is understandable. I think what I try and get across in the book, though, is that as men, the more channels we have, the more fully rounded we are sexually, the more we can embrace what does sexuality mean? You know, in the book I call it communion with the partner. And there's even a practice in there from Carreza, which is really... a 19th century pro-sexual movement where they call it magnetation, where you look at your partner when you're both in a highly aroused state and you allow yourself to absorb the eroticism that's in life all around us, from the whole planet. I mean, the cells in our body are reproducing, the plants outside are reproducing. There's this incredibly powerful vitality that we very seldom tap into. And when we do that in an aroused state as a meditation, incredible things can happen.
Wow, that's incredible. And you, in the book, you talk about how to actually, do these practices, literally how to do them.
Yes. Yeah, there are specific exercises. I briefly cover those exercises. I didn't want to get too much detail in the book because it was kind of overwhelming for people. I mean, even just, you know, Joe Sixpack, if you tell him that he's... going to be massaging his partner while making love, he's going to say, forget it.
Yeah, he's going to run.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think
he'll
so.
Get a six pack,
or I think about his breathing. You're going to ask me to figure out the way I'm breathing out, you know? So what are you, nuts? But, you know, again, and this is not for everybody, but for the men that are willing to go there, that are really willing to not only self-confront, to open their emotional body, to do their work, to get their balls back, and to meet their partner in a way that their partner needs to be met, this gives a tremendous possibilities for those men.
Okay, here's a question for you, though. Okay, that's speaking to men who are, you know, in partnership, relationship, marriages. What about the average guy out there who is you know, wanting to connect with women, but he's single. You know, maybe he is a Joe Sixpack, and maybe this is not necessarily going to appeal to him. But an average guy out there, how can what you're teaching, you know, help these guys to connect with
him? Right. Well, I think the first half of the book is if they read it, and they will see themselves in those pieces, no doubt. The other thing is, I'm a firm believer in, you know, we all have shadow. We all have pieces of ourselves that we don't want to look at. And we can only deal with that shadow in bite-sized pieces. That's all we can do. So this isn't a competition between, you know, this isn't about mechanics or techniques. It's about connection. I mean, if the techniques aren't bringing us closer to health and vitality and connecting to our partner in a powerful way, in my mind, they're not worth a whole lot. So I would say to that man who's not sure or intimidated by the material, buy the book, read a bit of it, and try it. Take a chance. You know? Just take a chance. Lose your erection. Give your partner a massage. Look into her eyes while you're climaxing. Do these things and see what happens. You can always go back to what you were doing before.
Right.
But, you know, these small steps are so important because that's what keeps us vital and alive as men. And we don't do very well at those things in general. You know, we like to feel competent, you know, which often
yeah.
we're not, you know.
But getting them to, getting single guys to, because, you know, there's so much between the media, pornography, just all of it, it's so antithetical to this wonderful stuff that you're teaching. And, you know, I think some...
You know, Gina, you know when the men are going to go there? You know, we most of us change when it's too painful not to.
So true.
And I'm the same as everybody else in that way, you know. But the times when I'm in crisis, which I write about in the book, are the most profound times. That's when the real change happens.
So
the men that are listening to this, or at whatever point they're in their lives, if they are in crisis now, when those men get their heart broken, and I've seen this over and over and over again in relationships, when their hearts are broken, then they self-confront.
They're cracked open,
exactly.
And, you know, ladies that are listening, you know, you're going to create, if you can get your man to, you know, listen to these interviews, definitely get David's book. Even read it together. I think reading stuff like this together is a very powerful conduit for intimacy and growth and exploration.
That's a great idea.
You know, to do that together, you're gonna really be giving him a gift, because I think that so many men culturally are so not used to being directed to go within. And I think that's one of the powerful pieces of this book, is that you really focus on the idea that in order to keep your balls, to, you know, to really be a man, it requires that you know who you are and you stand in yourself. So,
right.
You know, I think this would be a really incredible thing to do, would be to share this book. You know, buy the book. Don't even tell him you're getting it. He might, you know, if he knew, you know, what it was about, get it and you know, offer to, you know, let's read this together. You know, this is really written for you, but let's...
Yeah, and you know, it's funny and accessible. It's not, I don't browbeat anybody. Yeah, I don't, you know, the point is not to make anybody feel bad. I've been working with Mankind Project now for a year, and we do work in men's circles, and these are incredibly powerful circles of men that are doing their work, that they're having the balls to go inside and look at themselves and then hold their power in that place.
You mentioned that, you know, you shared with me about this Mankind Project. I think most people have probably never heard of it. You might want to...
Mankind Project is a rite of passage. It's a global movement. It's a rite of passage. They can be found on mkp.org, mkp.org, and they're doing remarkable work, taking men of all ages from 18 to in their 80s and allowing those men to see who they are. It's not a cult. It's not a religion. It's a rite of passage for males. And, you know, I personally have been threatened by men all my life. I have a history of very, very difficult relationships with men. Mm-hmm. And I have very close men friends that I've kept through the years. But in general, I've always been very wary because of my past, But since being in MKP for the last year, my life has been enriched so much because now I have men friends I know I can trust.
A big issue you feel with men, is trust?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's huge. And what they do in MKP is they take these men and they show them they're directed to look at their shadow. I mean, they're in a supportive way, in a supportive but no-nonsense way. I mean, these guys aren't blowing sunshine up anybody's butt, that's for sure. I mean, they're definitely straight up. And if they think that you're not being straight with them, they'll tell you. But at the same time, it's so supportive that... Anyway, it was funny because I finished the book about a year ago, the writing, and all of a sudden they came across MKP, and these guys are doing what I write about in the book. So I was very excited about working with them.
That's really fantastic, and it's good to know that there's something out there like that supporting men, because women, you know, we tend to be more communal, and it's an acceptable thing for women to gather. I mean, even when we get together and go have dinner together, it's like a social, I mean, it's like a circle. It's like, you know, getting, because we discuss a lot of intimate things with one another. Maybe not so much on a spiritual level necessarily all the time, but we're always connected in an emotional level with each other. And I think this is much needed and missing for most men. I think as the more I get to know about men and my men friends and men who are doing the kind of work that you're doing, there's a real emptiness and an aching is probably a good way to describe it for men with regard to other men in their lives that I think as women we don't experience that.
It's a very different dynamic
to bond with one another. I mean, instantly, maybe I could be talking to a woman on the street I've never met before, and we get into this place with one another, and we feel like sisters all of a sudden, and it's real.
Right.
You know, so I feel that there is this aching for men to be able to really bond with each other without the homophobic overtones, without the, I mean, there's so many pieces. I mean, I'd love to have you share a little bit more about that as a man on that level, because I think this is really important in order for men to be men. And we need you to be men in this world today.
Exactly. You know, we can't filter our, in the book I talk about, you know, flying boys, or they call them puer eternus, or Peter Pan.
Yeah, Peter Pan.
Yeah, and what happens is, you know, as men, what do? We, you know, if we're compassionate men, we don't want to be like those other guys that are screwing up the planet. So what we do is we try and be men, but we try and be men the way women wish men were. We can't.
Right.
We're incapable of doing that. We have to be men the way we're men. We have to keep our balls with us when we're being men. And that means having integrity, but it also means self-confronting and not sliding and not allowing ourselves, wiggle room. And what we'll see in men that are, a lot of men are, that are in the sacred sexuality movement, they won't, their integrity is seriously lacking. And so, that in MKP and in my book, what I address is when we do that, we cheat ourselves. When we can't embrace our integrity, it may feel like for a while like we're getting away with something, but ultimately we're not. Ultimately, we're just kidding ourselves, and we distance. If we can't open our heart to our partner, our chest, and still keep our balls, we've lost. We've lost already. We've lost before we've started. Because as we get into real intimacy, we have to expose ourselves to that person. And we have to show who we are with all our warts and with all our flaws.
Right.
And if we can't accept that in ourselves and see that our flaws are the really rich signs of our humanity, then we can't be intimate. And then we're forever lonely. We're forever alienated.
So true. And you know, it really is the same thing for women. I mean, it requires an individuation always. Whereas rather than saying, like when you were just saying that men want to be what the kind of men that they think women want, they need to be, as you said, the man that they are, and that's a very individual thing, and that's what I meant by individuation. And the same thing for women. When women feel that they need to conform to a certain idea or ideal of what men are looking for in women, it doesn't allow for them to be true to their authentic self. So it's really, there's so much that is similar in the way we need to approach being who we are. I mean, I think the foundation of it is to be authentically who you are and to stand in that, you know, no matter what comes. And
absolutely.
To expose yourself, as you were saying. The war.
Can I read something from your book and then something from my book?
I would love that.
Okay. So this is from Gina's book, Woman, A New Definition. It's on page 24. And Gina writes, "We have so much fear around intimacy and exposing ourselves to others emotionally. In fact, we are so afraid to see ourselves clearly, honestly, openly, because we so harshly judge ourselves in this society that has something to say about every aspect of how a woman expresses herself, from clothing, hair, and makeup to education, marital status, age, sexual expression, whether we have children, how we are aging, and if we are nice." Okay. okay? And in my book, I write about the good girlfriend. And this is from page 52 on how to worship the goddess and keep your balls. Sacrificing the good girlfriend. Some women have a good girlfriend in them, or have a good girlfriend, a good wife inside them. Before a goddess can be born, this good girlfriend must be sacrificed. The good girlfriend believes that unless she is sweet and ingratiating, men will not be attracted to her, that she will not be loved. Sadly, this is sometimes the case. But a man who is differentiated will know that a relationship with a woman who is not differentiated may be well nigh impossible, doomed from the start. Even a relationship between two people who have done their work can be perilous at best. But if either partner is not committed to self-confronting, the landmines are almost guaranteed to explode wherever they step. The good girlfriend avoids her truth if she feels that it might be in conflict with what her partner wants. Desiring to please, she has not yet learned that the truth is always more important than our feelings about it. The good girlfriend puts her needs before our own and thus cannot afford to speak her deepest truths. As we might guess, her unspoken truths do not go away. They eventually find their way to the light of day. And when her unacknowledged truths finally emerge into the light, they will bite us in the ass. I think that's true of men also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying. So that was a great thing to read because it is. It's true in both directions. It really is.
Yeah, if we can't honor our own self, how are we going to honor the relationship that that self creates with our partner?
It's really powerful about being able to. And you know, David, though, I notice so much now, and I'm sure some of it has to do, I talk about this so often, I know I sound like a broken record to my listeners, the idea that because of the Internet and how we do connection with each other now, that I think there are more single people. There are more people because we don't have a proclivity to necessarily go out and interact and meet people one-on-one. So I feel like there's a lot of people that are alone and that are single right now. And
Yeah. There's
a whole, a lot of those people are becoming very self-centered, self-immersed, and solitary and afraid, really, to open and connect with someone else. Some of them really want to, but again, there's the fear issue of exposing themselves. And, what do you think about that in terms of the ways that, because I really noticed that there are a lot of people that are alone in the world right now.
I think it's a microcosm of what happens in ourselves. I think it's just happening on a larger scale. You know, if we're afraid to expose ourselves to our partner, we isolate, and we think we're safe, but we're actually just isolated. And I think on a social level, a lot of what happens in modern society is we are alienated. We're isolated from each other. What I see happening, though, is I see us reforming into tribes, and the Internet is mirroring that. There's even tribe.net.
All the groups, yeah.
Yeah, the social networks. And I think like anything else, if we spend, I don't necessarily need to hear about what my friend in New Jersey had for breakfast.
And the twittering. My daughter does that, by the way. Literally, I'll be out of the house and I'll get just made brownies. Or yesterday she sent one out. This is hysterical. Yesterday I'm out and about and I get this just made, the creamiest, juiciest, butteriest grilled cheese sandwich. Now I feel sick. And I'm like, I know more about her life from Twitter than I do from, being in the same room with her. It's hysterical.
Exactly. So, yeah. I used to talk about my dad. My parents live in Maui here, and we used to come to visit. My dad would put on a videotape of Maui so they could see what Maui's like. I'd be like, look out the window, just look out the window.
Oh, it's just a funny
So, thing. Yeah, I think to a large degree it is alienating. I think there's good sides to it. I love the web, but you're right. And we've talked before about how pornography conditions men to ejaculate probably rather quickly, but also conditions them to especially young men, to think that that's what, if you're a young man growing up and you look at pornography, like I write in the book, if you want to become a really bad lover, just do that.
Yep.
That's the way to do it.
And it's also conditioning women to think that that's how they're supposed to behave, or that men like that and that's what men want. It's messing up both sides of the equation, It's really
right.
But yeah,
so You know, at some point we have to get beyond adolescence in our lives. I mean, you know, doing that thing when you're young and whatever, that's just what we do, and we're exploring, we're figuring out. But once we get into our 30s and 40s, you know, I'm in my 50s, it doesn't do it anymore. There's no nourishment in that. And those men, you know, who are listening to this know what I'm talking about. You know, we end up doing it more and enjoying it less. But we can't admit it to our buddies, because then we're just
not macho or studly. Even the young ones, I think, because of the culture that we live in and the excesses, I think that is probably that place of dissatisfaction is happening even at an earlier age. But as you said, you can turn around and admit it to your buddies.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, as a man, I know, sexual variety is wonderful. I get it. You know, at the same time, if we really look at ourselves and we really do our deep work, there's a part of us that's incredibly unfulfilled. And how many, you know, how much meaningless sex can you have?
Yes,
you know, how many times are you going to do that, you know?
Well, apparently quite a bit if you look at what our culture is doing.
And when your only tool is a hammer, everything's a nail.
Wow, that's deep. Yes, very so to speak. Very, very true. And there's part of that satire in you. But, I want to talk some more about some of the other techniques and stuff that you have in your book that you men can access to get to these deeper places. And there's a concept also in your book that I think is very powerful and interesting, erotic will.
Let's talk about that first, because that's one of the more stranger things in the book. The old saying, does the name Pavlov ring a bell? You know, we are creatures that become conditioned very easily.
Right.
And in the book I talk about something called erotic will, which is it's a way to create outcomes in your life using sexuality as a vehicle. What you do is when you're with your partner, or you can do this alone also, you create states of high arousal, and rather than climaxing, you anchor that highly aroused state to an outcome. Could be world peace, could be a new car, could be whatever, you know, whatever you want to create in your life. And in the book, I give specific techniques for doing that. So if you do that two or three times, what you do is your unconscious mind will associate that high desire erotic state. And I'm talking like right on the edge of your seat state, right? This is really a powerful place to an outcome. And you fuse those two together, and then you just forget it. You do that two or three times, and you forget it. What happens is your unconscious mind starts associating that outcome with what they wanted from that physical experience, and your antenna will pick up things in your environment, and you will start creating those outcomes unconsciously in your life. So that's erotic will, and I think that's a really useful thing for people to do.
That's really powerful, because you can use it for collective goals. You can use it for spiritual. I mean, that's a powerful concept, David.
Yeah, or if you want a friend of yours to be healed.
Healing.
Absolutely. And
the two of you, or your relationship even. If you're going through something challenging and you want to focus on healing the relationship or...
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
And so what happens is your unconscious mind will navigate in such a way that it will tend to create that outcome.
Now, how would that look? How would you implement that, like the technique of using that, just to give...
Beg pardon?
How would you implement that? What does that look like?
You mean if you were doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the book I write about, what you do is I give Taoist breathing exercises where you take that erotic energy and you breathe it up your spine. And that's sort of a classic Taoist and tantric technique. So what the couple, well, one, you can do it alone, even if your partner doesn't know what you're doing. Or it's more powerful if you're doing it with a partner together. What you do is you create these states of high arousal, and you're looking into each other's eyes. And rather than climaxing, or the man ejaculating or the woman climaxing, what you do is you bring, using a specific breathing technique that I describe in the book, you bring that energy up into your head, and you fill your head as a ball of light. This may sound goofy to your listeners, but when you do this, this can be incredibly powerful. And you do that two or three times. You know, you let the arousal go down, then you build it again together. And then, rather than releasing in climax, you pick a point in the universe somewhere. It could be a star or a single point. And you think of that point as being the outcome you want. And you take all that energy and you send it to that point. Now, it's just a trick. It's a trick to get your mind to anchor that outcome to that highly aroused state. And then in the book, you know, obviously when, you know, guys are, when they're done doing that, if they haven't climaxed, they're going to be like, you know, limping around and rubbing up against the furniture and stuff. So you need to move that energy, right? I mean, you can't just walk around like that all the time, you know, you get arrested. So I give techniques for doing that, because that's actually, that can be very good for men. I know a lot of guys are thinking I'm nuts, but it can be very powerful, and it really can help men to keep their edge. So in the book, I also talk about Qigong, which is breathing exercises, which are extremely powerful old Taoist practices that have been done for thousands of years and absolutely enhance quality of life and longevity. When we are in highly aroused states, there's something happens to our nervous system. If as a man, if we keep creating these aroused states in ourselves and don't release, our testosterone levels increase. Increased testosterone has been correlated. It's very good for men. It's been correlated to reduced heart disease, reduced lack of joint pain. It also would keep you're very interested in your partners, you can imagine.
Doesn't increased testosterone, though, also equate with, it's interesting because men who are violent and sex offenders, they have, not sex offenders necessarily, but violence is also correlated with higher testosterone surges.
Absolutely. And you know what? And that's one of the dilemmas of being a man. So obviously this is double-edged. You know, just increasing violence is, you know, it's also, though, it's also, well, I believe that when we, when men climax, there's a dopamine dump, and an oxytocin dump, and then we kind of go to sleep, right? There's explanations for that. If we don't, there's extra energy, and that has to be channeled. If you're just going to take that energy and just be grumpy, forget it. Don't even bother.
Right.
You know, you have to take that energy, and that's why the Chinese practices are so important. Like I say, we're not just limping around. We're actually taking that energy and putting it into different spaces in ourselves. If our chests are open as men and our channels are open and our channels are activated, as the Chinese say, that energy is a life force. The reason why those men are violent is not because they have too much testosterone. It's because they're doing the wrong things with it. They're not using it the way it's supposed to be used.
That's a very good point. I'm glad I asked you that question. Because, so to the guy who's listening and thinks you're marginally insane, which, not having had several conversations with you,
I know
it's true. You are marginally insane.
Yeah, no doubt.
How do you, you know, just in a simplistic way, how would they cope with that? You know,
by relaxing their body.
Okay.
By meditating, by doing Tai Chi, by if you, this is learned like anything else. I mean, men are not born good lovers. Being a good lover is learned, you know, just like opening our hearts is a learned practice. It's not intuitive for us as men. That's the whole point.
You know, I don't know if I agree with you on that one, though. I think that as children, because we start that way, our hearts are naturally open, both boys and girls. And I think that socialization starts to, enculturation, and that's what starts to make us shut it down. But I feel like it's a natural place we inhabit when we come into this life, and we learn to close it, and then we have to learn to open it again. And I think it is.
I agree with you to a degree. I think I agree with both of us. I think that there is a lot of socialization, and that is why, tribes in Africa will have men that will grieve together as a ritual,
right?
Because there's a recognition that's what men need. They need to open their chests. You know, they need to feel that grief inside. In the book I write about, I believe that some of it, though, is not conditioned. Some of it is because we were bred to be warriors to protect the tribe. And in order to kill enemies, which was our job,
right,
for most of evolution, we had to shut down our chests. But it's not a given.
Right, and I think, again, even that is learned. It's like you're taught, well, this is what your role is going to be, and this is how you do it, as opposed to just allowing whatever happens to happen. You know?
Could be. And
I'm sure that at some point it probably would be a natural selective of, you know, just their own survival. But it feels so much to me that so much of how we end up being is learned, and the way that we shut down is learned.
And in any event, you know, the solution is the same, no matter which is true.
Right.
You know, the solution. solution is that we men have to get our, reclaim our balls and crack our chests open. And there's no other way around it. It's the only way we're going to be able to go home.
I think it's just so powerful because I think if men, if a huge movement really, it already has started actually. It just hasn't permeated the mainstream quite yet, but it will. I think you said it earlier. You turn to something like this when you realize that what you're doing isn't working, and it's another way to go. And I think more and more men. I know here in LA, there's a lot of men's groups, and I see men creating ways to bond and really getting it, because this is a huge spiritual community here in LA. As wacky as this place is, it also has that. It's a strange paradox.
Try Maui.
It is the strangest paradox. Sometimes I just go, geez, LA is just the strangest place we've got.
I bet.
Really
I
interesting,
bet.
Really open. It's a huge community for spiritual evolution and growth. And then we've got some real insane people here. But,
right.
You also, I can't believe we only have like 10 minutes left. Where does time go when I do this show? I think body work is one of those things that you talk about in your book that I think is especially important for men, because, again, as women, we're used to, we have these biological experiences that anchor us into our body, like our menstrual cycle. We're more, we're just more in our bodies, and it's not such a big deal. But I know that a lot of guys I know, if they're not athletes or doing yoga, that going into their body and doing any kind of movement is so foreign to them. So,
Yeah, and the thing is that if I'll say to guys, yeah, you can do this stuff with your lover, with your wife, with your partner, and they look at me like I'm crazy. Why would I want it? Why would I bother massaging somebody when I'm being sexual with them? But that's because they haven't tried it.
Right.
Or had it done to them. And it is amazing to do really deep tissue body work on somebody in a highly aroused state. I've been a body worker for many years, and the things that I would... When I was working with a patient, with a regular client, just doing regular clinical body work, it would take me a lot of time, 10 sessions or so, to get a certain shift in their shoulders, say, to get that one side of the shoulder to relax or something. If you do that with your partner when they are in an aroused state, that shoulder shifts really quickly, like one or two sessions.
Wow.
Because there's something about that highly aroused state that opens the tissue in the body, and I believe it's physically healing. I believe that we have different nervous systems within our body. We have a nervous system that's the spinal nerves, but there's also the cranial nerves that come down and they go to the organs, and we have the connective tissue between the muscles. There's connective tissue, this fascia, which apparently the current research says works kind of like a semiconductor. Gives a feedback loop from the body back to the to different parts of the body, and that is how some people believe acupuncture works. Is it works on that connective tissue, because a lot of acupuncture points are where the connective tissue meets near the muscle.
That's interesting.
And so there's a gut nervous system. The heart is an endocrine gland. The heart produces 7 different hormones and neurotransmitters. In all cultures, we say we feel with our heart. That's not a metaphor. That actually is true. Our heart has memory. There's amazing clinical studies of people that have had transplants. I mean, really strange stuff. When you get an organ transplanted, the person will have memories of the person who was the donor.
That's got to be really something.
Very remarkable stories. So, we have sort of this mechanistic billiard ball view of our, scientific view of our bodies, but we're way richer than that. Physiologically richer. And so when you do body work while making love, you open up channels and pathways emotionally and physically that are just profound. Not only that, makes the sex wonderful. You know, if you start doing that, you will never go back to regular, television sex.
Yeah, television and the porn version. It's funny, though, because I think some women are also, like, I know I have a very good friend of mine, he's very much into these types of practices and his relationships, and sometimes the women are very afraid also of allowing themselves to be explored and to surrender.
Of course,
in
and this is, we take these things one step at a time.
Right.
We can stretch out of our comfort zone a little bit. We should never just blast off, and our inhibitions are there for a reason. So I wouldn't encourage people to just go blasting off with this stuff. You need to check in. That's part part of the process.
And you have to trust. Yeah, you have to trust the person. You have to trust your, you know, your lover in this. It can't be somebody you just met off the street. I mean, although, you know, I'm sure occasionally some people connect and they have that kind of profound depth immediately, but it's not the norm. And it's not something that's likely to happen from, you know, casual encounters. It takes some real
connection. I wanted to address committed couples in the book. You know, that's who my interest is not just in creating better sex. That, you know, you can do that with machines or techniques.
Right.
You know, my interest is creating intimacy, and then from the intimacy, creating mind-blowing sex.
And everybody's interested in that for sure, on both levels,
yeah.
The intimacy and the mind-blowing sex.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's really, there's so much, you know, the book is so, it's so deep and profound, and the way that you communicate the information also, it's simple, and like you said, there's a lot of humor in it, but you do have a lot of techniques. Can you share, we maybe have like 2 more minutes before I'm going to have to wrap, but you want to share maybe another technique or concept before we have to wrap?
Yeah, I would actually like to talk a little bit more about the spine and the body work. That is, one of the things that happens is when, you know, our spinal cord goes through the base of our skull, through the magnum foramen, into the brain stem. And, you know, physiology is universal, human physiology. And all these different systems, you know, the tantric system in India, the Taoist system in China, the Hawaiian system in Hawaii, all of these systems have very similar techniques for opening our nervous system. You know, Tibetan Buddhists, they're very, very similar. And what I would like to share with people is you can do those with your lover while making love. And there are very, very profound states that you can put yourself in if you choose to go there, you know. It's intuitive for us when we're aroused to arch our head back. If you do the opposite, if you flatten your cervical curve and bring your head forward, we allow a flow of energy and cerebral spinal fluid to our brain stem. And this is a little esoteric, but these things can create, not only create better sex, but can create better awareness and quality of life. Because our unconscious mind is in our meat. It's in our muscle, I believe. It's not just between our ears.
That's interesting, yeah.
And when we open that, we open 2 possibilities in our lives and 2 our shadow.
This is just such rich stuff. I'm going to just once again recommend, you know, particularly you men listening and women who love men and have men in your life that you love, this book, you know, Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. And you can find it at www.davidbruceleonard.com or at amazon.com also. And it's like nothing you've ever read, and it's an easy read because it's very accessible, and it's going to really make you think about how you do things. And David, I just want to thank you again for coming back.
Gina,
that was like, that went by like so fast, I can't even believe it. I mean,
I know,
it didn't feel like we had enough time. So that having been said, I'm sure we can do this again. And keep bringing some more good stuff to it, because you're a repository of great stuff. So,
hey, yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for sharing a little bit of my book tonight.
Yeah, no, I have this lots more of that. Boy, I've got this thing tabbed out at like 8 or 9 tabs where we've written the same material from different perspectives. So.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. So, but I'm going to sign off so I make sure that I don't piss my producer off here. But thank you again for joining us tonight.
All right, take care.
I'll talk to you soon. Got to wrap up again tonight. I forgot to mention at the top of the hour, please support me and my work. Buy my book, Woman, A New Definition, if you have not. If you have, I thank you so much for your support, and I would so greatly appreciate your writing a review for the book. You just simply can go to my Amazon page, or you can go to my website, redefiningwoman.com. Click on the link for book and the link that takes you to buy the book, and it'll take you to the Amazon page, and you can post a review. And remember to love, honor, value yourself, and to do the same with everyone else you come into, because we are all reflections of each other. Have a beautiful week. This is Gina Cloud.
Next week, remember, woman is the embodiment of beauty. That beauty is not skin deep, but it's soul deep and spirit fed. Live your truth and be radiant, and live it with wild, carefree, wanton, delicious abandon. Until next week, with love and blessings, I'm Gina Cloud.
Oh, we go.